Dear God, we thank you for giving us the right to come to your throne of grace through Christ Jesus our Lord. As we come, we want to find mercy and receive grace. Lord, we thank you that even before we render unto you our prayer requests, you already know what they are. And so, Lord, we pray that you will answer our prayers according to your will, according to your plan for people we pray for. At this moment, we lift up to you Pastor Andy and his family. Lord, you know that they are mourning the loss of grandma in China. Lord, it is difficult, especially for Pastor Andy's mother. She hasn't seen her mother for a long time, and now she can't even go and attend the funeral. And so, Lord, it must be very difficult. So at this time, we pray that you will speak to her through Pastor Andy. May your peace and comfort be with her and the family. Lord, make use of Pastor Andy as a messenger of comfort, peace, and the good news. Make use of this opportunity to really bring her and the family to you so that they too can have the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Lord, we pray for Joanna and her husband, Pastor Michael, as well. You know, they were involved in an accident in Richmond yesterday morning, but we thank you that everybody was fine, even though there's some minor injury. We trust that you will heal Pastor Michael soon. But we just pray also for comfort and for recovery for them. Pray that you will help them to rest well. This morning they are still serving you, and so we pray that you will give them extra strength. May you make use of them to lead their church, their people in their church to worship you. So, Lord, we commit both of these families to you. Lord, we also remember Judith and her friends in Richmond, California. Thank you that they have arrived and they are beginning their work amongst the needy people. May you make use of them, ministering to them, to the needy people, not only physically, emotionally, but more so spiritually. Help them to bring the gospel to the needy. Lord, we also remember other needs around the country and the world. We pray that as the parliament is about to sit again, we pray that you will guide the Prime Minister, the Cabinet, and the entire government so that they know how to govern the country. We also pray for the flooding disasters in Sri Lanka, in Australia, and in Brazil. Lord, many lives have been lost, and we just pray that you will have mercy on these countries, on these peoples, so that they will be able to rebuild their communities and their countries. So, Lord, we lift them all up to you, and we thank you that we live in Canada. We seem to have it all. We seem to have every good thing that comes from you. And so let us be thankful, and let us remember that apart from you, we have no good thing. And we thank you. As we are about to study your word now, we pray that you will give us humility, give us teachable spirit, help us to understand what your word has to say to us, and help us respond accordingly. Lord, as we begin this new year, help us to be a better Christian in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could you switch me, please? Thank you. I just want to tell you something about the Italians. The Italians have a custom. On midnight of New Year's Eve, the streets were empty. There was nobody in the street, no traffic, and everybody just goes home. They just stay at home, and even the policemen, they take cover on New Year's Eve. But then at the stroke of 12, the windows of the houses suddenly fly open everywhere. And then there is sound, there is, you know, laughter, there is music, there is fireworks. What happened? Well, each member of the family would throw away the things that they don't like, things that would remind them of the past year, things that would really make them feel disgusted. For example, they throw away furniture, they throw away personal possessions. They just want to wipe their minds off the past year. They don't want to remember it. The Italian custom is similar to the Chinese custom. We Chinese do more or less the same thing as the Chinese New Year approaches. We would like to clean the house, we would like to throw away the old stuff, the useless things, just to make room for the new, right? Now as 2011 begins, how should we live our life in the new year? Let's learn from the Apostle Paul. He makes a resolution in the passage that we read this morning. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. There he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. That's Paul's New Year resolution. Now, before we make any resolution or set any goal for the new year, we need to reflect on what happened in the past year or before. Now, Paul did exactly that. He reflects in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. He says, 5 and 6 it should be. He says, I am circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. As you study these two verses, you realize that Paul has excellent qualifications. He has had many excellent achievements. His resume makes people envious of him. He says he is born 100% Jew. That's what he means by a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. Well, this tribe is highly regarded among the Israelites, because out of this tribe came the first king of Israel, Saul. And Benjamin and Judah were the only two tribes to return to Israel after the exile in Babylon. Now, in addition to all this, Paul has received strict training in the law and Judaism. He studied under Gamaliel, a highly respected teacher at the time. Paul has fulfilled every requirement to be a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a member of a very devout religious sect in Jesus' day. That's what he means by as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. And before he became a Christian, Paul was very zealous about persecuting Christians. When the first martyr, Stephen, was being stoned to death, Paul was present. He was watching everything that was taking place. And among his peers, Paul is well known, and it seems he could do no wrong. Now, as you look at Paul's credentials, as you study his resume, you can't help but think that, wow, this is really impressive. But surprisingly, in the following verse, verse 7, he says this, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Now please take note of the two opposites, profit and loss. "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss." Previously, my credentials opened doors for me, and I enjoyed the status, the privilege, the honor, the respect, etc., etc. But now, all these things mean nothing to me because of Christ. Whatever I gloried in before, I enjoyed doing so many things, even persecuting Christians. Whatever I gloried in before, it now has become trash, garbage to me because of Jesus Christ. Now Paul's reflection on his life makes him come to the conclusion that nothing in the world compares with knowing Christ. Nothing on earth is more precious than knowing Jesus Christ. And still, he says in verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect." And he repeats the same idea in verse 13. "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it all." Now to sum it up, Paul seems to be saying, I haven't got all of it yet. I haven't got there yet. I haven't arrived yet. And the term perfect in verse 12 is used to describe a sacrifice without blemish, without defect, well-pleasing to God. You know, Paul examines his life and knows that he is far from being perfect. Now, Paul's goal is to know Christ, to be like Christ, and to be all Christ has in mind for him. And he doesn't believe that he has gotten hold of all this completely yet. And so, he decides to do something about it. He says in verse 13 and 14, he says this, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I want you to pay attention to the three action words here. Forgetting, straining, and press on. Now first, forgetting what is behind. To forget means not to let the past influence the present. If we focus on past successes, we may become conceited and not want to set higher goals. If we dwell on past failures, we may become discouraged and not want to try anymore because we are afraid of failing again. And so we need to forget the past and press on toward the goal. And when we press on, it will do us good if we don't look around, if we don't compare ourselves with others. It's like a running race. There are bound to be people who run faster than you. And there are bound to be people who fall behind you. And there may even be bound to be people who would drop out altogether. And so the best strategy to run this race is not to pay attention to other runners. You know, other runners may run faster, may run slower, may drop out. It doesn't really matter. We only need to do our best, our utmost. And so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, let us throw off, or maybe let us read it together. Please join me, all right? "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." That's right. You know, let us just focus on Jesus Christ, not look at Uncle Charles, not look at the Bill, not look at Pastor Paul, not look at Pastor Andy. We are all different. All God wants us to do is to forget the past, forget what is behind, and focus on what is ahead. We press on. Now, besides forgetting what is behind, we need to strain toward what is ahead. Now, how do we strain toward what is ahead? Well, perhaps Sidney Crosby could give us an example. In the Olympic final, right? Hockey final, between the US and Canada. He was straining forward all the time in the US territory. And consequently, he received the pass from Jerome Iguina, and he scored the winning goal, right, in overtime. We need to strain toward what is ahead in order to succeed. Now, human nature is such that we tend to sit around and wait for things to happen. I think if we are honest to ourselves, we tend to do that. But not so for Paul. Paul is different. He doesn't sit around and wait for things to happen. He's a go-getter. He makes things happen. And for example, even when he was in prison in Rome, he would share the good news of Jesus Christ with every guard who stood watch over him. He would make use of that opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. And his effort paid off, brought results. And he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, "All the saints send you greetings, especially to those who belong to Caesar's household." Caesar's household refers to the soldiers who have become Christians. Now, Paul makes good use of his time, his ability to glorify God in every situation. Now, about 18 months ago, Eva and I attended a marriage and enrichment camp. Now, on the last day, we were asked to tell our spouse how we would spend the last day of our life if we had only just one day to live. I believe Uncle Andy and Auntie Maggie, or even Uncle Robert, you remember, right? That enrichment camp, if you've been to that camp. Now, how would you spend the last day of your life if you had only one day to live? Now, that's an excellent question. If today were the last day of your life, right now it is 10 to 11. That means what? That means there's about 22 hours and 20 minutes left in your life. 11 hours. Yeah, 11 hours and 22 minutes in your life. What are you going to do? How are you going to spend the rest of the day? Now, every year, every month, every day, our life is in constant countdown. And perhaps you did the New Year countdown, right? To welcome 2011. In the last 10 seconds, you count, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then Happy New Year. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of joy. But, in fact, we don't need to wait for December 31st every year to do the countdown. The countdown begins when we are born. Each one of us is born to die, whether you like it or not. We are all dying. We should make good use of our time, our days, our weeks, our months, and our years. And when you look at, you know, time, how time flies, 10 years has just zoomed past in the 21st century. We are already in the second decade of the 21st century. There are only about 90 years left. And if you live long enough, maybe you will go through this century. And so, time flies, and we should really make good use of our time, so that there will be no regrets later on in life. Now, a while ago, a Hong Kong actor was lying in deathbed. And he asked the doctor to do him a favor, to prolong his life just for 2 hours. Whatever the cost, whatever the method, he just wanted to have 2 more hours. For what? To see his mom one last time. But the doctor was very blunt. He said to him, impossible. No matter how much money you are willing to pay, however many shots you are able to put up with to prolong your life, you just won't get your wish. The actor did not get his wish for 2 more hours of life just to see his mom one last time. Has it ever crossed your mind that it's so difficult to extend life for even a minute, let alone 2 hours? And yet, we who are young, most of us are young and healthy, we waste time without really second thought. We waste time left, right, and center. Today, I waste 1 hour. Tomorrow, I still have another hour. Right now, I waste 30 minutes listening to Pastor Paul. Next Sunday, I still have another 30 minutes to hear another sermon. We should be serious about life and not squander it so carelessly. As the teenagers among us, I may not really feel that time is passing so swiftly. This year, you are a teen. Next year, you still be a teen. However, when you enter the 20s, you don't have the luxury anymore. You don't have that luxury anymore. This year, you are 21. Next year, you'll be 22. And soon, you'll be 30. And counting. And suddenly you wonder where time has gone. And so make good use of your time, discipline your life, and equip yourselves for God's use. You study not because your mom, your dad tell you, oh, I want my son to be a doctor. I want my daughter to be an engineer. You study because God wants you to study. You study because you are equipping yourself for God's use in the future. You can be a doctor, but still serve God. You can be an engineer. You can still serve God. You do that not for your parents. You do that for God. Chinese parents are notorious, right? Chinese parents are so bad at this, right? But let us think about it. We are not just Chinese. We are Christian. Think about that. And so make good use of your time. Discipline your life and equip yourselves for God's use. If you were to die tomorrow, how would you spend today? Don't ever think that you live long. Just look at Christina Green, right, in Tucson, Arizona. She was only 9 years old. Not this past, but Saturday last week, right? She was so happy. And now she's gone, right? She was shot dead. And so, if you were to die tomorrow, how would you spend today? What would you like to do? Whom would you like to see? Don't be a slave of video games. Don't be a slave of electronic gadgets. Don't be a slave of Facebook spending 5 hours every day. Yeah, sure, that's the way you connect. That's the way you meet your friends. But in the scheme of things, in the life that God has prepared for you, that won't last long in eternity. We have to do something that can worth our while, that is worthwhile in terms of eternity. Don't be a slave of Facebook. Don't be a slave of enjoyments and entertainments. A pastor friend of mine once said, 3 years from now, if you are still the same as you are today, in terms of your Christian growth, you have wasted God's time. You have wasted God's time. When time passes away, it will never return. And therefore, we must treasure time. We must love the life that God has given to us. And we must spend time knowing Christ and living for the Lord. Now, in addition to forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, you know, Paul says, he presses on toward the goal. Now, to press on means, or it's like a hunter chasing after his prey until he catches it. Or it's like a runner dashing for the finishing line until he gets there. That's what it means, to press on. Now, Paul tells us his goal in verses 8 and 9, or 10, that he wants to know Christ. Now, to know doesn't mean to acquire head knowledge only. It means to have a personal, intimate experience. Now, originally, this verb to know is used to describe a husband lying with his wife. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, the King James Version says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived a child." Now, Paul's desire is not just to know about Christ. He desires to have a personal experience in Christ, to have an intimate relationship with Christ. This is his goal. He doesn't care what is happening around him. He only presses on toward this goal until he gets there. And he runs his best. And so consequently, when he came to the end of his life here on earth, he was able to say this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I pray that you and I, the young and the old, will be able to say the same as we come to the end of our journey here on earth. Now, our church has run the race on earth for 20 years. We celebrated the 20th anniversary last September. As you look at the walls, you still see the slogans. Praise God for 20 years, for 24th and spring. Grace abounds in his everlasting reign. We thank God for 20 years of love and faithfulness. Every now and then, I ask myself, I really do, what sort of spiritual heritage I'm leaving with Felicia, Felix, and Fidelia? Now, there are three generations of Christians in my family. My mom in Hong Kong, Eva and me, and our children. And my prayer is that my grandchildren and their children will still be Christians before the Lord comes again. Now, last year, the theme of our church was our sturdy growth in Christ. How much have we grown in the past 12 months? Have we made an effort to know Christ? Not just head knowledge, but really a deepened relationship with Jesus Christ. Have we taken root downward in God's Word and bearing fruit upward, bringing people to Christ, especially non-Christian family members, friends, schoolmates? If you were to grade yourself, a 10 being highest, what grade would you give yourself? If you score high, you should not be conceited. If you score low, you should not be discouraged either. As Paul says, let's forget the past and strain toward what is ahead. Now, last year, we launched the devotional campaign. We encourage you to do your daily devotions, writing down your devotional journal and memorizing scripture verses. We want to thank you for your participation. Many of you participated. We promised a prize to those who did well, who finished well. Well, we have the results. If you look at the chart at the back, then you see we did come up with three groups. They are Paul's group, Emmanuel Fellowship, and Esther group. If you listen to these names, Paul's group, Emmanuel Fellowship, and Esther group, they sound so unfamiliar, right? Because they are not your groups. What happened to your groups? How come just the Chinese or the Cantonese-speaking groups get the prize? By the way, the awards were given in the Chinese services last Sunday when I was preaching. So I hope that this year you will do better, all right? Now please look at the walls at the front here. Right, you see the four Chinese cross on the wall. If you don't see them, you can see them here. Raymond Ng of Joseph Fellowship wrote them. And Rosanna, put up the English version for us. The red paper scrolls are in season to celebrate the Chinese New Year, right? It's going to be in the first week of February. And at the same time, these are the goals. These are the goals of our church ministry this year. Our theme continues to be sturdy growth in Christ, but we have all these four goals, four emphasis. And the first goal is do daily devotion. Now this is about our relationship with God, right? It takes time to develop a good relationship. For example, a husband and wife, father and son, and people who are dating each other, it takes time and effort to develop a good relationship. It's the same with God. There's no shortcut. And so we continue the personal devotional campaign this year, and we hope that you will continue to memorize your scripture verses. And when we have a good relationship with God, then we will have a good relationship with others. Now the second goal is love one another. The church stresses fellowship life this year. Through fellowship life or maybe Bible study groups, we practice loving one another. Not only within the group, but between the groups. And so we encourage joint fellowships. Not only between Cantonese groups, but also between Cantonese and English groups. Not only between the old folky groups, but also between the young and the old groups. We want to practice loving one another. And also, the beginning of July, on July the 8th to the 10th, it's a Friday to Sunday, we're going to have a church-wide summer camp. It's going to be at Summit Pacific College. We've been there before in Abbotsford. And the theme of the summer camp will still be around church life. We really want people to get to know each other in this church, not just amongst the English speaking, but also between the CM and the EM. The third goal is serve the Lord. I hope that everyone takes part in serving God in this church. And many of you are actively serving already, and we want to thank you for that. God has given us different gifts, and we must put them to good use. Serving God is the best way to grow, to mature in the faith. And so, brothers and sisters, we must press on and serve God zealously. Have you ever wondered why you're not growing? Because you're not putting into practice what you have learned in Sunday school. You have not put into practice what you have learned here in the service. You have not put into practice what you have learned in Awana. Everything is out the window because you don't practice. Serving God is the best way to grow. I just want to let you know some of the needs of the church and not of the English congregation. You know, I don't know if you have ever been aware, you know, we are no longer just the EM. We are no longer just the CM. We are one church, Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. And under this church, there are two ministries. We are all closely related. We are interrelated. Not just because you have parents over there. but because you are part of this church. And so I want to share with you some of the needs of this church. The department needs. The music department, there are many other needs, but I just highlight some of them. Need two pianists for the Chinese services. And as you know, some of you may know, Angela and Angie, they have been helping the first Chinese service. And then the AVIT department, we need a department head, and we need several operators. Just this morning, somebody told me in the Chinese service that we do really need operators, because this morning there was some problem with the PowerPoint. They didn't see the songs. They didn't, see the lyrics, but good thing that they had the bulletin so they could read and sing from the bulletin. So we do need people to help with the AVIT. And then Sunday school department, we need several new teachers. The emphasis is on the new. We don't want to recycle the teachers. We want to have new teachers so that the existing, the current ones can take a break, right, from time to time. And then we have the training department. We need two translators. Some time ago, we continue to hand out the knowledge about the Bible as inserts. And the information comes from either the Chinese or the English references. And we need to translate them into the language that you read, that you use. And so if you are bilingual and good at that, please, help us out. And then the library department has the most needs. And these are just some of them. The library department needs one person per month to shelf books, three persons to catalog the new books, and one person for data input. So, there are needs in this church, and you are old enough to help out, right? Don't let the parents, don't let the uncles and the aunties serve you. Don't just serve yourselves. You serve the whole church. And so, these are the needs of our church, and this is how we can serve God together in the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. So the fourth goal is lead people to Christ, to spread the good news. Praise the Lord, the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church has been very faithful in the past 20 years, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news, leading people to Christ. And in the past while, we've been involved in the international student ministry. We've held several meetings for international students. And we are glad that a couple of them have begun to join the church. At last year's Christmas dinner, a student even came to know Jesus Christ, accepted Jesus Christ as her personal savior. She's not here this morning, but last Sunday she was. And we are planning to start a Bible study for international students in the near future. And this may be an opportunity for you to take part in it, to serve the Lord, to reach out to these people. Now, in addition to this, the English ministry plans to visit the Balkan House for the homeless once a month to cook for the people. Now, Balkan House is located at Homer Street in downtown Vancouver. Now, this is another opportunity to share the gospel. As a matter of fact, I think we are going there this coming Saturday, I think. Right? Yeah, we'll look at the announcement. We'll look at the announcement later. Right? So, this is another opportunity to share the gospel, to lead people to Christ. Before the Apostle Paul pressed on toward the goal, he reflected on what he had done and where he had been. And then he set the goals and presses on toward them. And what does he expect to get? Well, he says in verse 12, he expects to receive a prize, an award. And what kind of award? A crown of righteousness. During the past Winter Olympics, my family and I were fortunate to get tickets to attend one of the victory ceremonies at BC Place. What an unforgettable experience. That evening, athletes of three countries, which I am kind of related to, were awarded the gold medal. I was very moving to sing the national all three national anthems on that occasion. And when we were singing, "O Canada," every Canadian present sang at the top of their voice. What a sound. What a sight. It's very moving. And it was the first time ever I sang the Chinese national anthem in public. I singing it overseas in Canada to boot. I never felt so proud of being a Chinese. You know, I was born and brought up in Hong Kong under the colonial system, education system. I never felt that I was Chinese until, you know, that moment. I was really, really proud of being a Chinese. And now you may have guessed what the third country was. The third country, yes, of course, the United States of America. We lived there before, and the American athletes were getting the gold medals too. Now I'm thinking, the Olympic victory ceremony was such a grand event with spectacular sight and sound, joy and celebration. What about the ceremony for the crown of righteousness? Now, brothers and sisters, let's make a resolution together at the beginning of 2011. No matter how the past year was like, no matter how our spiritual life was like in the past year, and we might have a lot of successes, we might have a lot of failures, let's forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead and press toward the goal. The goal is to know Christ, to be like Christ, to be all Christ has in mind for us, so that at the end of this journey, this race, we'll be able to receive a prize God has already in store for us. So brothers and sisters, let us press on toward the goal. Amen. We may not have time to sing the song of response, but let us come before the Lord and have a moment of silent prayer, all right? As we are quiet before the Lord, no matter how many years you've been a Christian or you're just a baby Christian, as you reflect on your relationship with God, how is it? Where are you at? Are you still at the starting line, even though you've been a Christian for 10 years? Where are you at? How are you doing in your relationship with God? Do you know Him intellectually, but no personal intimate experience? Do you know Him just barely, no deep understanding of what He wants you to do for Him in life? Maybe this is the time when you make that as your New Year resolution, to know Christ, to be like Christ, to be all Christ has in mind for you. O God, have mercy on us. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths. O Lord, help us not to rely on ourselves as we begin yet another new year. Help us rely on You. Help us focus on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Help us to press on toward this goal of knowing You, of being like You, of being all You want us to be in this year. Have mercy on us, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.